on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us. You don't want to miss this one. The Crown is continuing closing submissions today during the trial of a couple accused of plotting to bomb the BC legislature on Canada Day 2013. My guest for Legally Speaking is Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. So nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good morning.
This is one crazy case. For listeners, let's take it back to what happened at the legislature on July 1st, 2013. Remind us of that day.
Well, the report was that police had foiled a plot to explode bombs at the legislature. That's how the matter was originally reported.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned much more over the past several months about what, in fact, was going on here. The accused in this case are charged with several things, including a conspiracy to commit murder. They were charged with a terrorism-related charge, which was a stayed or a directed verdict of not guilty by the judge the other day. It's a fascinating portrait of what went on with these two individuals. The two people involved charged, it turns out they were had serious personal problems. They were on social assistance, having been homeless previously, living in a basement suite in Vancouver. It turns out that the police had spent months with an investigation into these two, which ultimately included 240 RCMP officers engaged in a undercover operation investigating them. One of the challenges that came out is that these two would apparently simply never focus on any sort of a realistic plan to do anything. One of the undercover officers in the trial, there's a recording of him describing their plans as hokey and harebrained. They apparently had various ideas ranging from taking over a nuclear submarine to making rockets powered by cow manure to launch at the parliament buildings. They simply had, it would appear, no realistic plan or capacity to do anything.
And what is the Crown arguing in this case then?
They're arguing that there was a conspiracy to commit murder, amongst other things. It sounds like what ultimately this team of 200 and some odd RCMP officers did after these months of futile investigation. One of the things they did was take these two individuals on a three-day holiday to the Okanagan, where they put them up in a hotel suite. Made efforts to try and get them to focus these harebrained schemes into something more focused, trying to dissuade them from the cow manure rocket plan, and then trying to get them to focus on this idea of using pressure cookers. The evidence involved three of these undercover police officers trying to encourage these two to focus on that plan, telling them things like, we know it will work, it's doable, trying to get them to focus on something other than these ideas like taking over a submarine or launching rockets at Seattle, which they thought was 32 kilometers away from Vancouver.
Michael, how did the RCMP come across these two? How did they hook up?
That's unclear, and that's going to be an interesting issue depending on what the jury does with this case. The way it works is that we'll have a conclusion of the Crown submissions to the jury today. Then what will happen is the judge on the trial will charge the jury or give them instructions on how they're to do their job and review the evidence with them. The jury will then go away and come back with their verdict. There are a couple of possibilities. If they find the two not guilty of the remaining charges, that's the end of it. On the other hand, if the jury finds these two, or one of them at least, guilty of one of the remaining charges, it seems almost inevitable that another interesting legal issue is going to arise, which is called entrapment. In Canada, entrapment is an issue which is dealt with by the judge if, and only if, a person is first found guilty or pleads guilty to doing the actual thing.
So if they're not found guilty, then the whole issue of entrapment goes away?
That's correct. So if the
jury... So what the RCMP did or didn't do would not be scrutinized further?
Well, it would be scrutinized by the jury in the sense that the defense counsel in this case apparently have told the jury to, during the trial, pay careful attention to the police behavior.
Right.
And who did what and said what may go to the issue of whether one of these two or was engaged in a conspiracy to do anything at all. At one point during the investigation, this was apparently recorded as well, the accused, the male accused, Mr. Nuttall, was asked by an undercover officer about this plan to use pressure cookers. He was asked, whose plan is this? And his response was, it's kind of all of our plan, referring to the undercover officer involved with the sting operation. And then he said, we all kind of chipped in.
Who's we all?
The police, exactly. And Mr. Nuttall.
Yeah.
It sounds like there will be real issues for the jury to decide whether there was a conspiracy to commit murder. So that has to be dealt with first. But if the jury finds that, yes, the elements of that offense are made out, it seems very likely that the next application will be one to the judge to decide whether the police conduct here amounted to entrapment. Now, entrapment in Canada, there are two possible ways that somebody could be entrapped in Canadian law. The first way there could be entrapment is if the police decide to approach somebody to see if they will commit a crime without first having a reasonable basis, a reasonable suspicion that the person's already engaged in criminal activity. So that would be, for example, if the police decided to plant a wallet in the park with ID and money in it, and then just watch and see if anyone picks it up and takes the money, and then run over and charge them with theft. The idea there is that would be called random virtue testing. We don't want to live in a society where the police are permitted to just go and approach random people and see if they can tempt them into committing some crime.
Is it really called that, random virtue testing?
Random virtue testing. That's what it's described as. Now, that's the first sort of wing of entrapment, the first way you can have entrapment, the police trying to just induce people to do something who they had no reason to think were doing anything to begin with. The second way in which there can be entrapment is if the police have that sort of reasonable suspicion, but then they go beyond providing an opportunity to commit a crime and instead induce the commission of a crime. So
is that going to be the sticking point in this one?
I suspect so. I don't know the what got them going on these two, but certainly the evidence reported upon these months of effort by the police to try and get these people to focus on something other than cow manure and a homemade rocket may amount to that second branch of entrapment.
Wow, fascinating stuff. More on this case here on Legally Speaking when we come back with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. Stay with us.
Call us 250-386-1161 or on your cell at Star 1070. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Choosing the right appliances is so much easier when you have expert advice and plenty of options. At Trail Appliances, we offer over 40 brands, giving you the size and type of appliances to fit your space, lifestyle, and budget. Our expert sales team, design innovation, and in-house service and delivery professionals make it easy for you to choose the right appliances at the right price. Experience the Trail difference at our 8 Trail Appliances locations throughout BC and online at trailappliances.com.
This is Talk Radio, and I'm with President Darryl Jones. Now, we all know that nothing in life is guaranteed.
Yeah, like my dream of becoming a singing sensation. But at Save On Foods, with our new Always Lowest Guarantee, we guarantee that we'll have the lowest prices on over 850 items you buy most. So if one of our competitors advertises a lower price on one of the 850 Always Lowest Guaranteed items, just show us their ad, and you'll get one free.
Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Save On Foods. Talk about savings.
can I get you?
Double latte, extra hot with whipped cream, please.
You know, the $4 you're paying for this could get you every single episode of The Sopranos.
Excuse me?
Plus Nurse Jackie, Arrow, every Star Trek ever, and hundreds more.
$4?
Yeah.
How?
Crave TV. All you can watch for $4 a month with your TV subscription.
Great, but I'm still having the coffee.
Latte.
Latte.
No, latte.
Latte.
Tip jar.
Crave TV. For details, visit cravetv.ca.
It's the roofing season, and right now at the Home Depot, get 10% off a pallet of top-quality Timberline HD in-stock roofing shingles from GAF, North America's largest roofing manufacturer. With superior protection and strength and a lifetime limited warranty, GAF delivers quality you can trust. 10% off GAF Timberline HD in-stock shingles, only at the Home Depot. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or homedepot.ca for details.
Helping Victoria children and their families in need all year round is what CFAX Santas Anonymous is all about. I'm Al Farabee. Your donation to CFAX Santas Anonymous builds local playgrounds for kids to play, helps a Victoria child go to camp when their parents couldn't afford it, and helps a local family who lost everything in a fire.
Helping Victoria children and families in need, no matter what the need. Donate to CFAX Santas Anonymous now at CFAX1070.com.
Where the conversation gets steeped. Cafe Victoria Saturday with Bruce Williams at 3 on CFAX 1070. When you need to make sense of it, she has it covered. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. This is a bizarre case. The Crown continuing closing submissions today during the trial of a couple accused of plotting to bomb the BC legislature on Canada Day in 2013. We're talking about, entrapment and where this might be headed. So, Michael, let's reiterate here. What would be in question with entrapment in terms of the police being involved with these two? We still don't know how they ended up on police radar. But you've told me that the police described them as being what?
They were described as their plans were described as hokey and harebrained. The police spent apparently this 240-person undercover team of RCMP officers. Apparently spent more than 4 months in a futile attempt to try and get Mr. Nuttall to articulate a real plan. He had all these ideas about cow manure and rockets, and eventually the police decided to take the two on a three-day holiday to the Okanagan.
Under what guise?
So that they could relax and work on a real terrorist plan. So that's what they did, and apparently after 3 days of work with these two, it described them, I think, in the custom bathrobes in a corner suite in the Okanagan, then eventually they came around to this idea with the pressure cookers, which the accused described as something that we chipped in together to come up with, and then three separate police officers apparently encouraged these two with that idea, saying, oh yes, you know, that's a good plan, that's doable. That's going to work. Having become frustrated with these ever-shifting ideas about cow manure and rockets and nuclear submarines and things which just weren't going, anywhere.
And what did they recommend that these two use as explosives?
That's interesting. The accused apparently had this idea of making some explosive by collecting cow dung. And it was the police who apparently suggested not to try and make something with cow manure, but instead the police suggested that they should use C4 as an explosive rather than cow dung.
Wow. Okay, so we have the hotel, the holiday in the Okanagan, 3 days, befriending these people. What I'm hearing is it sounds to some extent that the RCMP helped mold this plan.
That certainly appears to be the case. It would appear that these two, well, they obviously had ideas that are not savory ones, these ideas of taking over a nuclear submarine or launching homemade cow manure rockets at the legislature. It would appear on the evidence that's come out that the thing for which they were finally arrested was a plan which this team of RCMP officers finally got them to focus on. so that it was something less than these or something more than these completely ridiculous ideas that they apparently had on their own, and simply nothing gelled for more than 4 months of this undercover operation.
How many police officers were working on this case?
Apparently there were 240 RCMP officers who were working on this case.
I was working that day. I was on the air here on CFAX on July 1st, 2013, and it was frightening because the way that this was framed is that there was a terrorist plot. The legislature had been thwarted. What are we hearing now?
That may be so, but what we're hearing now is that, or at least it would appear on the evidence, that plot was something which these undercover RCMP officers posing as jihadists managed to get these two drug addicts to focus on as something realistic as part of their undercover investigation.
At what point could they, with this seemingly intimate knowledge of what was going down, could they have stopped this sooner than to actually get to the point where these things are placed?
It would appear that the impression leaves, the evidence leaves in this case, is that this simply would not have occurred but for the police focusing these people, taking them on this holiday, trying to get them to focus on this plan. They simply didn't have the wherewithal or focus to come up with anything. The impression left by the evidence is that, ultimately the police may have stopped this idea, which they managed to get these two people to focus on. There would have likely been nothing to stop but for the police intervention and method of investigation here.
Well, remind us what happened on July 1st, 2013 in terms of the bust being made and this being allegedly thwarted.
I think there were some devices which were actually put down at the legislature.
Yeah.
So there were some things there. There was also undercover recording of the accused talking to one another about apparently being winding up with concrete boots on if they didn't carry on, and it was sort of too late for them to stop and do anything about this.
And who made that comment, the concrete boot comment?
The accused apparently were under the impression that these undercover police posing as jihadists, that they were in jeopardy of being harmed by those undercover fake jihad police officers.
If they didn't carry on.
So they felt that given all that had occurred, it was too late to turn back and to stop, and they had to carry on.
Did the RCMP need to wait until these so-called devices were placed on the grounds of the legislature to stop this, if in fact they believed that it was a real plot? Could they have done it much sooner?
Without question. And it also appears clear here that that simply would not have come about and been focused on but for the police intervening in the way they did.
You mentioned that the police had described them as being hokey and harebrained. Wouldn't the undercover officers involved in this have been aware that, as you put it, two drug-addled individuals who weren't focused, that perhaps they weren't the threat? Would they have been cognizant of that, yet continuing this undercover operation?
It's hard to imagine how they wouldn't have been cognizant of it, given that after these futile more than 4 months of investigation, it was the police that came up with this idea of taking the two away on this 3-day holiday to the Okanagan so that they could try to focus them on something more concrete than these ever-shifting and totally impossible ideas they had.
This was national news. People in Victoria that I knew that were down there were thinking, oh gosh, I just left the area, or I was down, I sent my kids down there that day. You know, people were frightened at thinking that this was a real thing. But as we know in the court proceedings, the jury is literally still out on this.
That's right. And I should also say we're very lucky to live in a country where we do have this sort of an open court process. We're able to report upon what the evidence is. The public is able to form their own judgments about what went on here. We're also lucky to have the jury trial process that we have, because that introduces an element of community values into the justice system. And I mentioned the entrapment issue that would be for the judge to decide if the jury finds that the remaining charges have been otherwise made out. It's important that we have that element so that regular members of the community can listen to the evidence and decide whether they are persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt that these people committed the very serious offenses that are alleged.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring Kevin into the conversation. Hi, Kevin, you're on CFAX.
Hi, I've heard a lot about this case. It seems that these two couldn't blow up a balloon, let alone blow up a building. I think they took it to the extent that they did with the police just to fulfill, now this is going to sound like a conspiracy theory, Harper's campaign of fear across the country. I am here to protect you. We are under attack. We do have terrorism. And all the terrorist acts that have happened in this country, I don't think any of them are terrorist attacks. Even the one that walked into the apartment buildings, he walked in there with a single shot gun. If he was a true terrorist, he'd have been armed to the you-know-whats. But I think it's just a campaign of Harper's, with the RCMP included, a campaign of fear. Mm-hmm. Push these people along. Make it seem like we are under attack.
Let's get to Michael Mulligan's thoughts on that. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, I'm not sure I would ascribe political motives to the police involved, certainly if you're a member of the RCMP tasked with ferreting out terrorism, you better find some terrorism to investigate, or you're going to have a hard time justifying your plans to take people to the Okanagan for the weekend. These would be exciting things to do for the police. A lot more fun to pose as a jihadist and take people to the Okanagan for an undercover operation in a hotel suite than it is to spend your days going and collecting people that have vomited on themselves in a downtown business doorway or whatever else somebody might be doing as a rather unpleasant end of police work.
Where do you see this case headed? So we're hearing closing submissions today from the Crown. What's the timeline here and when we might hear how this is going to end up?
Right. The Crown will have an opportunity to finish their submissions if they haven't done so by this point this morning. The next task will be for the judge to what's called charge the jury. So this trial's gone on for a significant period of time. So the judge has the job of summarizing for the jury the evidence, summarizing the arguments of each side, and then giving the jurors some instructions on what the law is, what the burden of proof would be, the elements of the offense, this sort of thing. And then once the judge has done that, the jury would then go and they would need to discuss the matter and come to a verdict.
And their verdict would be on what specifically?
Well, there are three charges remaining. There was a fourth charge, which was a charge of terrorism related. It was it's described in the criminal code as facilitating terrorist activity. And another interesting legal development on that front, a few days ago, the judge directed the jury to acquit the accused on that. Now, the argument about that isn't public because the jury wasn't in the room for that argument. It would become public once the jury has made its decision.
We'll have to leave it there for now. Fascinating, and we'll find out shortly, I guess, which way this is going to go.
It will be fascinating, yes.
Thank you so much. Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. He's my regular